Actually, our whole life is a mystery of which very little comes to our conscious understanding. But when we accept only what we can consciously rationalize, our life is actually reduced to the most pitiful limitations, though we may think quite otherwise. We've been brought up with the absurd prejudice that only what we can reduce to a rational and conscious formula is really understood and experienced in our life. When we can say what a thing is or what we are doing, we think we fully grasp and experience it. In point of fact, this verbalization, very often it is nothing more than verbalization, tends to cut us off from genuine experience and to obscure our understanding instead of increasing it.
Good morning, pilgrims and travelers on the sunny path of life. 12:25. Been raining for, it's been raining for sure since 5, which technically was 4, right? I forgot about spring forward, and I still kind of got up when the alarm rang without adjusting it for the leap for the spring forward. Anyway, and it's it looked like it was abating for a bit, but we're looking at maybe 2, 3, or 4 more hours. Maybe, who knows, it may be raining all day anyway. So for now, it's, you know, it's a wind, it's kind of cold and sweat, and it's just like, no, I'm not going to go. I managed yesterday to go for an evening. You had a break, you had a crack in the sky, the sun shone, there was light. It was very, very nice, beautiful light. And so I took Chupa Chupa treat and then went for a walk, but then the wind was starting to blow. And I got back in, but I got a little walk, you know, that was nice. That was nice. But that's actually, let me do a little more house cleaning, housekeeping, I guess you would call it. I fixed my pants because I had a hole on the left side that was really getting bigger. And I still want to wear those pants, you know, until I leave here, and then I'll throw them away. And I have 3 tears, but the one on the left was really getting big, and it was only going to get worse. You know, those pants are about 20 years old, so the fabric is really becoming very thin. And so my intention was to fix that this morning, so I did. It's not pretty, you know, it's actually not politically correct, because the way it is on the outside is the way it should be on the inside to look prettier, but I'm like, I don't care, you know, it's not going to go anywhere. I am not the most handyman when it comes to sewing, but I know how to do it, and I know that it's not going to be worse. Like on my jacket, I have 3 areas that I fixed that I was getting tears, and they have not aggravated. They've not gotten worse since. So I've done that on my socks, underwear, shirts, you know. So anyway, so I feel I know enough to make it do. So I was able to get that done. And then yesterday, you know, so when I talked to Bilge, so she has this kind of autoimmune, and because she's so young, which is one of the nice things about autoimmune when you're young, is you have a better chance to bounce back. So you have everything is stronger, and if it can be redirected with lifestyle intervention, then the prognosis is pretty good. Once you know, once you get to that balance, and then you can afford, you know, falling off that seahorse anyway, that seesaw. So I'm like, okay, I need to get back on to get refreshed before I push her in a direction for her to try. I don't know what she's trying, turkey, but you know, to give credit where credit is due, there's a lot of very cool things happening in the US. So anyway, so there's this this woman that I can't think of a name. I don't think that's who I just found, but she basically had the experience as well with autoimmune. I think it was ALS anyway, actually, in her case, not this one here. I don't think it's ALS, Lou Gehrig. And basically, she had a clinical protocol, and she had some good results. You know, it's not like one treatment for everybody. But, you know, when you're in that situation, it's really one of the best things is to be willing to try, you know, for a while. They don't seem to really carry big collateral damage. So even if it doesn't work, you're not necessarily worse for wear. And sometimes that's the only way. Kind of what a doctor does with you anyway, unless it's a very clear-cut diagnosis. But if not, they just shoot in the dark until they're like, ah, I get it. And so I couldn't find her on a ritual podcast. I went through all of it. I'm trying to think. Where I heard her, I can't think of it. But she had things with like smoothies, which I think it's going to be different than this one. So she had it was more of a plant-based approach. This one seems to be more like of a different, maybe a little more kind of Atkins or something a little different. And I'm not saying, I realize it's not that simple. At the end, it's what works for the person, not what the ideology is. And some of those things you just don't know until you try. And then the idea is for the person to have the experience so they can know and they can be empowered. Anyway, and so I just finished the podcast this morning and I studied the book yesterday. And actually, I was quite surprised because it's very well written. So I don't know if she had a ghost writer or what, but it's called A Brave New Medicine. But it's very well written, you know, doctors. I mean, even if you take Michael Greger, it's well written, but it's not that. This one has a literary smell to it. I mean, like a writer. It just looks like somebody, like a writer who's writing it, you know. And so it's going to be very enjoyable and very well. Good economy of words. Really, really very nice. Very, very nice. Really enjoying it. And so I want to make sure that I kind of I'm going to read the book. I mean, it's a good chunky one. It's between 300 and 400 pages, but I think it's going to go quite easy. Then if I have any kind of word of caution or whatever, I'll still send it away because I think it's going to be useful. I think there are going to be nuggets in there regardless. There are a couple of things that are kind of like you know. A little frou-frou, but, you know, it doesn't matter at the end of the day, because when the highway doesn't work, the interstate, you know, sometimes you end up 4x4. It's not fun. It's messy, but sometimes it's what the doctor orders. So, and I realize you can't just limit yourself to your biases, you know, and your prejudices. You have to be open when something that complicated or that mysterious. Anyway. And but that's not actually even the reason for the podcast. Let me see if I have anything else to add. Oh, Miller's Girl. Yeah, sure. Let me touch base on that. Miller's Girl is a movie that I stumbled upon. I think the Lord of the Ring, the part two, when the stories of Gollum comes to the front, either the Two Towers or the Return of the King, I forgot. And then he's on the boat with a friend. And the friend that he's with, maybe it wasn't him, but I think it was him. I think he's Australian or from New Zealand. But this guy also plays in Fargo, that miniseries with Billy Bob Thornton. So he's actually playing the dumb guy. And so he's this literature teacher, I guess maybe English teacher, and in this kind of private high school. And I was quite impressed by the screenplay. There was some heavy writing. Of course, you know, Henry Miller's mention. I had a big face with him, so obviously that kind of helps a little bit the context. He's a very carnal, politically incorrect, fuck you kind of a guy, really kind of this idea of authenticity and not letting oneself being defined by the establishment or being told what to do. And anyway, an interesting kind of a breed of writer, kind of like Bukowski, I think stronger. I think as a writer, Henry Miller actually is a stronger writer, is a better writer, but still the idea of that, that grit, that authenticity, anyway, And so there is this kind of a relationship between a teacher and a gifted student, and this guy's life, his marriage. And to me, it felt more like a play than a movie, because the script was so, the screenplay was so strong. To me, that looked like it was very more apt for, I don't think it's going to do well. I think it's pretty new. I think it's called either Miller's Girl or the, no, I think it's got to be Miller's Girl, apostrophe S girl. Yeah, which his name is Professor Miller. And I don't quite see how, I don't see the potential being fulfilled on the screen. But of course, whatever that is, that's just my experience. But I think it could be a very explosive, very powerful play, because you don't need a lot of prop. You know, it could easily be between the school. You could do like a park maybe, or a bar, a school and a home. And between those, that would be enough for stages. It doesn't sound too complicated. Not that I know much about the logistic of putting a play together. But I enjoyed it. It was nice. For whatever reason, I'm not ready for Poor Things and for Past Life, that South Korean movie, and then the one with Emma Thompson. Or Emma Stone. Maybe her name is Emma Stone. I forgot. Yeah, Emma Thompson is a British actress. I think it's Emma Stone. I got the award for the best actress. But the reason why I'm kind of getting on a jump bandwagon here. I was just reading, actually, Cynthia Lee. It's very, very nice, very enjoyable reading. But it also made me think of, I might actually push it to Pilar, actually, when I'm done also. I think she might enjoy that. And there is there'll be the camera, the kinship too, you know, being a female doctor. And I think that she may get something out of it. And she also works with endocrinology, something like that, endocrinology, you know, the digestive cystic, the internal medicine. But anyway, lately, there's a sense of clarity when I'm reading that I'm not losing as much. Like, even when I think of the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, for me, that would be something traditionally that would be... Hold on, let me turn the light on here. I feel like the room is a little dark. That would be a book that I would have trouble to stay with it. And for whatever reason, I'm staying with it. My mind, my brain, whatever you want to call it, doesn't seem to struggle much to stay with it. So there's kind of like a sense of clarity, feeling clearer, which is, this is really why the impetus to cage walking in my room to do that, to do this recording, to start it for the day. And oh my goodness, it's raining. Yeah, but that's about your last day, my friend. Yeah. And yeah, it's something that I do not remember. You know, I had spurs here and there, but one thing that I've also learned as of late in my life, or in my life as of late, is that you don't really have to worry about things happening, or is this what this is, or if it's going to be something that's going to be there for the long run, it will just be. It'll just become a new reality. There'll be a paradigm shift unbeknownst to you. And you don't really have to do anything because the deeds have already been done. So there is nothing. You don't have to pray. You don't have to be superstitious. You know, you do your part. You know, you just do what makes sense to the best of your ability, knowing that you are messing it up and you're getting better at the same time. You just don't know where that line is, because we're just imperfect, and we relatively know things, and therefore through that imperfection, we are bound, you know, to make mistakes, and sometimes, you know, to slow down, to put up obstacles and to make things harder, whatever the case may be. But I think that's pretty much everybody's path. You know, and of course, in me in 2019, you know, when I was on the Camino and there was this weird awareness that there was a shift. I just felt different and I thought I was high, you know, kind of call it the Camino high. And of course, my life being a little different, but still, I just felt like it was going to be something temporary. And then realizing that here we are, you know, 5 years later, it could still be temporary, but temporary may not be the correct lexicon for that. So, and nothing is required. You know, it's not like I'm aware of it. I know what I have to do. And, you know, it's not about knowing. It's not about control. It's not about knowledge. It's just about this kind of reality shift somehow. And I think we all are on a path in life, you know, and it doesn't matter what your path is. It's like once you find your lane, and not because it's peaches and cream, but once you find the lane that feels right to you, and that's it, not because it provides you security or money or fame or whatever you want to call it, sex, whatever, it doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with that. It just has to do about giving you clarity as far as a sense of who you are. And once you find that lane, interesting things start to happen. And I guess if it isn't, you know, you just keep shooting in the dark and then that's just your path. I don't believe that there is such a thing as a wrong path. They are just all kinds of path. And for whatever reason, we are on the one that we are because it makes sense to us. And sometimes it is so hard to try to actually even make sense of that or being able to articulate it to other people. But again, one of my favorite quotes, you know, to one who's had the experience, no explanation is necessary. And to one who had not, none will do. So, you know, it's like there's nothing to explain, you know. You're going to find the kindred spirit. You're going to, you know, you're just going to show up, be who you are. And I would really challenge more and more now as I'm changing myself to not argue, to not try to demonstrate, to prove, to debate. It's such a waste, you know. And it's, of course, for me, for you, it's not. God bless. I'm not saying, but I'm really where I am. It's like, wow, what a waste. What a waste. And I see it more and more clearly each time when I kind of start slipping down that hill. And it requires, I think, less effort now because I'm catching myself sooner. So it's not as slippery and it's not as steep. So it still requires work, you know, and it still takes its toll. But I think that's kind of a learning curve in anything in life. It takes time to really being very conscious and aware, you know, and full of your capacities to be able to really perform on that. And then eventually you move on because once you master it, then you go on to other things. You know, there is no finishing line to that marathon outside of death, maybe not even death. And so it's very interesting, you know. Yeah, very, very interesting. Like, you know, I'm basically kind of mostly in the house, right? Mostly in the room here. I mean, I did my oatmeal this morning, so spent a little time in the kitchen. I had this nice podcast with Cynthia Lee to listen to get to know her a little more. And, but I'm mostly in the bedroom. You know, this is my one warm room and we are basically, well, tomorrow it's going to start warming a little bit, and Tuesday by Wednesday we are not going to be, you know, for sure Wednesday, maybe even Tuesday, I'll be able to turn the heater off, because I think it says 12 on Monday and maybe 13 or 14 or 15 on Tuesday. So, you know, the days are going to get better, and then we'll get to like 20. So, but I spend quite a bit of time here. And, you know, you can get that kind of cabin fever or, you know, kind of looking at, like I did the other day, was thinking about where could I go? You know, it's like wanting to find something with Wi-Fi. I mean, if there was such a thing as a Starbucks here, something similar, you know, like a coffee shop, I would have loved to go. But I can't stand the bars because they're just noisy. They have a TV. They have a, I don't know. It's just, to me personally, and I think the Spanish and the French one are kind of similar. I mean, they can obviously be very nice to, you know, to meet people on the terrace, you know, like on the Camino, you know, at the end of the day, it's quite nice, you know, to find a place like that. And I don't mind it then. But by myself, you know, it would be a library. And that's kind of it as far as I'm concerned here. And that's what I'm left with. There's really nothing else. And yeah, if I was to go to one, it would just be too chaotic. It would just be too, you know, and the way that I like my quietness and my space, it doesn't make sense. And for whatever reason, there's just something that feels off with Alberto. You know, I mean, I've tried a couple of times and it just didn't work out. Once they were not there. And then the other one, she was getting ready to do the whole big test on the national scale, you know, the oposiciones, which is a big, big deal to become a federal employee in Spain. It's quite an ordeal. It can take years. And it mostly takes years for most people to achieve it. It's really a lot of grueling work. And, but I don't know, you know, it's not like it's costing me an arm and a leg to, you know, to get the data. So, yeah, I found myself basically staying here more. And so, yeah, this, you know, I've had this weird spell. We'll see what happens next. You know, I'm not holding my breath. I'm not like, oh, let's cross fingers and pray that things just stay that way, the way that I feel good about, because that's really what I want and that's what I should want. I have no idea. But I do feel some clarity. I'm also aware I had a discussion within myself about food. You know, when I was feeling tired, I mean, obviously it's my second week, you know, where I'm completely off. No, fish, no. I'm going to have fish once or twice a week, you know, small, but that's it. And the rest, I'm basically, you know, full plant-based. Maybe I'm doing the fish as an insurance against condescension. And misplaced pride, you know, the whole vegan stuff. I kind of remember myself, even though I was not the worst. I don't want to shut myself down in a crack here, in the trenches. You know, it's like I was not horrible, but still, there was kind of a sense, you know, when I had like many, except I don't know how long did I stay. How long did it? Was it 8 years that I was fully, completely plant-based, you know? Well, I guess technically I was never vegan because I use honey. Honey has never made sense to me as a no-no, you know, and some of the weird ideology about the vegan. I guess technically I would say I'm a whole food plant-based. This is more the way that I would relate as far as the ideology. You know, it's really quite about health. You know, ethics is part of it, but the base is really health. And, you know, if you're going to be sweetening shit with some sugar, then, you know, when honey is actually a great option too. And I love honey. But anyway, so that's my insurance by maybe having that fish and the kind of omega-3, thinking of DHA and EPA and the conversion, you know, those fatty acids, you know, the conversion to the shorter chain, to the longer chain. And sometimes they seem to be genetic predisposition to not be a good converter. So, yeah, I want to remain open to that, even though, you know, between walnuts, I mean, flax seeds and chia. I think chia has omega-3, if I'm not mistaken. Actually, no, I think it's poppy seed here that I have. I don't think it's actually chia in a blend. You have flax seed, pumpkin seed, sunflower seed, and then I think it's poppy seed, anapoli. And so when I was getting through this weird thing, which we'll see what happened in the future, but, you know, kind of feeling weak, tired, lacking energy, you know, feeling kind of maybe a little depressed, sad, whatever the case is, you know, I thought about my thyroid, you know, something that I had a run, you know, run into with a doctor in terms of maybe having a low thyroid condition. So, and of course, the whole thing with seaweed is something that I'm mindful of, you know, like I'm using kelp. You kind of have to be mindful with kelp because it is actually very high in iodine. So it's actually, you can then create hypothyroidism if you take too much of that. but like, you know, nori is a good one, wakame, noodles, ijiki is a problem. I think ijiki is because of arsenic, if I'm not mistaken. It just sucks it up. But anyway, but wakame, yeah, wakame dolls, what you can find in the salad in the Japanese restaurant, and then wakame in the miso soup, and then nori sheet, you know, like in a sushi roll, tamaki. Oh, temaki, sorry. It means hand rolled. Te means hand, maki, raw. And so I was aware that I was questioning, I was wondering, you know, it's like, is it silver that I'm eating? And then kind of looking for the answer there, because it would be easy, right? You tweak your diet, you feel better, boom. It's kind of like that story about the crazy man going crazy in the yard of the psychiatrist's hospital, looking in bushes and going crazy. And then some fellow, you know, some fellow patient start to join in looking for whatever is looking. And then one of the attendants, one of the nurses, like, go see what's going on here. I'm a little worried here. And then he goes, it's like, hey, what's going on, Robert? It's like, yeah, man, I lost my watch. It's my father's watch. You know, that's the one thing he gave me before he died. I mean, I say, okay, sure, I'm going to help you. And where exactly did you lose it? I say, well, I lost it in a restroom. And the nurse is like, but then why are you looking for it in the bushes outside? I say, well, it's better here. The light is nicer. And so, you know, sometimes we just want to believe that it's going to be there because it's nicer. You know, it just makes sense. It's more convenient. And I think that's kind of normal. You know, what's requiring the least, what's the least unpleasurable, and but it doesn't always work out. So for me, definitely with my relation with food as a chef and, you know, as somebody shifting to nutrition and holistic alimentation or holistic nutrition, sorry, alimentación is a Spanish term. Alimentar, yeah, to feed. And so I found myself going there. And there's nothing wrong, you know, in terms of that. But I'm really of the belief that we are worth thanking it when it comes to food, and we are over-leaning onto it as far as a cornucopia for all illnesses. There's no question, it's one of the most important. I would think more than likely top three. And it may even be the first, it may be the most important, you know, in terms of what we do, you know, what we eat. There's no question. For me, it's undeniable that it's very, very important. But I think sometimes we just expect too much from it. We rely too much on that. And sometimes also it makes us not practice resilience. And I think sometimes as well, it's just tests in life where, you know, you have kind of like, am I doing the right thing? You know, you've been questioned. Let's see if you really believe that, you know. When the rubber meets the road, are you going to hold on to your gun, or are you going to fold? Anyway, so I was feeling that. But then I was like, no, it doesn't, you know. I mean, obviously the egg and the cheese were two things that, you know, the whole cholesterol with egg. Saturated fat is not an issue, but the cholesterol stuff is. But then again, you know, if my cholesterol last I checked was like 144. And that was, my goodness, when was that? Was it 2012? That doesn't make any sense, because if it was 2012, then I was still eating meat and eggs. I mean, they were farm-raised, you know, they were not from the stores anymore. We were buying all the free-range meat, and then the eggs were coming from chickens near San Antonio, and the milk was raw milk and all of that. But it may have, maybe it was after, I don't remember. But the last I checked was 144, my total cholesterol. And so, which is pretty good. You know, if you're below 150, that's definitely, it's a decent biomarker. Then there's a balancing between the HDL and the LDL, and you have the little LDL, or VLDL, I think it's called, which is really the bad one. And then you have ApoB, the genetic predisposition to carry the bad stuff. And, you know, that. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, in terms of egg, the important factor would be, where's my cholesterol at? Because if it's not really raising it, it's not as much of an issue. But regardless, I was questioning, you know, but then I was like, no, you know, I'm having the oatmeal, I'm having the fruit, I'm having some spices, soy milk, you know. I'm not even adding any sweetener. I mean, I have dates, chopped dates, and a new one that I did today. Well, there is like a Nesquik. I put a little bit of Nesquik in there. So there is actually, but it's not much. I think for most people, like Pilar, there's no way she could eat it. It would be not even in the ballpark of acceptable as far as sweetness. I mean, not even close. No iPhoto. Yeah. No habría foto. And so, you know, and then the sauerkraut, and I'm just doing the kind of steamed cabbage, you know. You know, my whole grain toast with a guacamole, the homemade hummus, you know, my fruit, the almond or walnuts. So, you know, and then my lunch, which is mostly brown rice with the lentils, and I'm shifting to zucchini with carrots and onion and mushroom. And the spices and the herbs and tomatoes. So I'm like, yeah, no, I don't, you know, I don't think there is really much more to worry about when it comes to that. I'm definitely really used to it by now. I was also thinking about my intermittent fasting or my restricted time feeding, you know, or restricted time eating, I guess they call it. I think they stopped using feeding because it sounded negative or pejorative to the human being, but I have no problem with calling it feeding. And thinking, because now I'm finding myself like going almost 20 hours and it's not a big deal, which is really weird, really, really weird. It'd be interesting to see what happens on the Camino. Oh, wow, it's really pouring again now. My goodness. What a weather. What a weather. And even that feels, no. I mean, you know, I have days where I eat like a pig. Well, I have the breakfast, then I have the bowl of lentils, and then I'll make popcorn. I'll have like two or three pieces of toast with Nutella, because then there's no restriction. I don't like restriction. So for me, that's not my model, to each his own. For me, it's like, yeah, when I'm done eating lunch, when I'm like, yeah, I'm full. Is it snowing, sleeting maybe? Then I eat until I'm there. And then when I'm there, I'm done. I'm good. I can brush my teeth and I don't have craving. There is no nutritional itching. Very interesting that it's really requiring nothing. Sometimes I wonder about my hydration, but, you know, my urine comes quite clear. There's no cramping. There is no, I guess cramping technically would maybe more to do with electrolyte, I think, actually. I think it would have more to do about sweating and then getting rid of the electrolytes than it could be dehydration, but I think more likely cramping might have more to do with electrolytes, unless you have no access to water. I think we're overthinking it when it comes to hydration, you know. And actually, I think for people like me, possibly, I think my blood pressure can sometimes drop. And the idea of drinking maybe rationally, so maybe drinking a little too much, I could kind of dilute my electrolytes, and it could also affect my blood pressure and drop it even more. So, yeah, for me, I kind of trust my system. I drink when I'm thirsty. When it's colder, I drink less. You know, I still drink my liter in the morning when I break the fast, so I really feel pretty decent. And when it gets warm anyway, I start to drink more. So, and when I'm hiking for many hours, I'll make a point to drink close to a liter. Pretty close, within 2 hours or so from arriving at the place, because I don't want to be drinking too close to bedtime, because then you are always guaranteed to get up in the middle of the night. And if I can get a full night rest, I'm going to try to do that. And take that into account. But anyway, actually, even in the podcast, now that I think about it, like I'm digressing, you know, I'm kind of going on tangents, but the main path, I'm coming back to it quite easily. you know, which is this kind of sense of clarity. So even as I'm expressing my thoughts, I am less concerned about going on a tangent. Because again, it's not me being distracted by Pretty Bird and it has nothing to do with what I was doing. It is related. You know, there's a reason for me. There's a reason why it came up in my conscious self. And so I want to include it, but not to the expense of the main course of action that my thought was initially engaged into. And so, yeah, that's kind of why actually I wanted to jump on the podcast bandwagon today to share that. Anyway, so I think I'm going to take a nap, play Ram Dass for the... Oh my goodness, so many times. I really like Ram Dass. Anyway, and then we're just going to weather that rain. I got the brown rice been soaked since yesterday, so I will cook that next. And I don't know what I'm going to watch today. I just don't want to try Past Lives and Poor Things right now. I don't even know if I'm going to make it through Poor Things. It looks like I say, one of those movies that's more than likely not for me. But you know what? I don't want to assume, so I will check it out. I'll know very quickly, you know, if it's one of those what I call mind fuck. You know, it's like, yeah, it's not for me. So, but I'll look for something. Oh, by the way, it's A Truce versus Alex Jones, that documentary from yesterday. And yeah, it was really, really, yeah, I enjoyed it. It's messy, it's confusing, it's frustrating, it's almost maddening, but I enjoyed it. I felt it was, to me it was a relevant documentary, and I think in terms of tolerance, you know, to look at somebody like Alex Jones, who is such a poster child, you know, but still, somebody who just sees a world completely differently, and is so convinced, like I am, about my way, and how do I view him, how do I respect him, how do I relate to somebody like that? I still don't want anything to do with the guy. Don't get me wrong. You know, I have no interest whatsoever in the likes of Trump and him, who have just such an interesting different filter. But I'm like, you know what? To each his own. To each his own. So I want to respect that. And of course, I'm in a nice place. You know, my child wasn't killed by my shooting, and I wasn't being denied the death of my child. I wasn't called a liar and threatened and harassed. My goodness. What a world, what a world. Anyway, guys, this is going to be enough for now. So grateful to have a nice shelter here. I don't think my oatmeal is ready to put in the fridge quite yet. I was just thinking, you know, it takes about 2 to 3 hours to really cool off before I can put it away. So I'm going to go lie down now. So peace and love, and we'll talk to you later.